Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The biblical prophets are not typically highlighted in our Sunday sermons. Why is this? The prophets can be difficult to understand. There are many misconceptions about the prophets and their function in the Bible. What immediately comes to mind when you hear the word prophet? Maybe when you think of the word prophet, you think of someone who can predict the future, or perhaps an eccentric social reformer who speaks words of judgment for the sake of a higher truth. Maybe you think of specific biblical prophets such as Isaiah or Jeremiah. Perhaps you think of modern day prophets. What makes someone a prophet? Why are these people worth paying attention to? In the words of Old Testament scholar Elizabeth Achmeyer, an Old Testament prophet is one who illuminates where and when and why God is at work in the world. Today we will be turning our attention to the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament and was a 7th century prophet, which means they were around some 600 years or so before Christ. At that time, the northern kingdom of Israel had already been carried into captivity, and Habakkuk was ministering to the southern kingdom of Judah at the rise of the Babylonians. The morality of the people at this time was low. They were faced with evil every single day. Their kingdom was led by King Manasseh, who is described in 2 Chronicles as having led the people of Jerusalem astray. So they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. In the first chapter of Habakkuk, the prophet cries out to God, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me see these wrongdoings and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise." Habakkuk asks God questions we still struggle with every day. If God is just and caring, then why do good people suffer? People say to me, "Oh, you gotta be crazy. How can you sing in times like these? Don't you read the news? Don't you know the score? How can you sing when so many others grieve?" People say to me, "What kind of fool believes a song will make a difference in the end?" These words are the opening verse to the song, "Somewhere to Begin." And they ask a profound question. How can you sing in times like these? In the midst of our world's brokenness, have you ever asked yourself such a question? When faced with overwhelming grief, injustice, and despair, how do we carry on? Do we keep singing? Perhaps one of the most powerful messages we can receive from the prophet today is how to sustain people in times of crisis. In the presence of inexplicable tragedy, how do we hold faith in an omnipresent and all-loving God? How do we deal with those feelings of being abandoned and forgotten, exposed and unprotected? If we follow the lead of the prophet Habakkuk, we talk back. We speak with God and give voice to our grief, our pain, and our suffering. God makes promises to his people, and Habakkuk took these promises to heart. In the final chapter of the book, which we did not hear today, there is a response from the prophet to God and the promises made, yet to be fulfilled. Habakkuk sings out these words, "Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olives fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is able to turn from distraught turmoil to praise and singing. Perhaps this is that simple reminder that when we are in despair, we need not remain silent. God never gives Habakkuk an answer to why evil abounds, and yet the prophet can carry on. How do we carry on amid evil and suffering in this season of our lives? Jesus proclaims in today's gospel, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We don't have much interest in replanting trees in the ocean, but we do care about these never-ending problems in our headlines. Does faith the size of a mustard seed move us to action, even in times like these? We need faith that despite evidence of sight and sound, what we do matters, that we can make a difference for good, that God isn't done with this world just yet. Perhaps the key is not the size of faith, but its persistence and endurance. At the beginning of the week, the pastors of the Minneapolis Area Synod attended our annual Bishop's Conference up in Alexandria. The theme for this year's conference was baptism in muddy waters. We were reminded that our baptismal identity is not a one-time event, but an ongoing invitation into transformation. Sometimes God's most profound work happens in life's murkiest moments, those times when circumstances feel unclear and hope seems distant. This discussion of baptism in muddy waters reminded me of one of my favorite flowers, the lotus. I love seeing the brilliance and beauty of the lotus flower sitting on top of a pond. But do you know where lotus flowers grow? Not in clean or clear water. No, the lotus grows out of muck. It pushes its way through murky and muddy ponds, often through decaying vegetation and stagnant waters, but it still blooms. Each morning, the lotus rises from the mud and stretches towards the sun, its petals untouched by the dirt that surrounds it. What a picture of hope this is for us. Our faith is often small and sometimes fragile. We may feel surrounded by suffering, by brokenness, by the muck of the world, and even the murkiness of our own hearts. And yet, God can bring beauty through these waters. Like the lotus, our faith does not need to be large or showy. It only needs to persist, reaching towards the light and trusting that God can bring life from the mud. Habakkuk reminds us that even when the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vine, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Jesus reminds us that even faith the size of a mustard seed can uproot trees. And the lotus reminds us that beauty can and does rise out of the mess. Together, these images paint a picture of hope. God's promises that life and renewal are not stopped by suffering, but often born right out of it. So maybe what we need most is not a bigger faith, but a rooted faith. A faith that keeps showing up, even in the muck. A faith that trusts God can take our smallest prayers, our halting songs, our mustard seeds, and grow something radiant and alive. Amen.